This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we are going to be doing another mini marathon.
Yay!
We had so much fun doing our Kes mini marathon a couple weeks ago. We thought we would do another character marathon, this time with Tom Paris.
Yay, because we haven't talked about Tom recently, or enough for that matter.
You know what I love about doing these mini marathons, Suzanne? No one has time to watch 5 hours of Voyager. As much as I'd love to watch 5 hours of Voyager and do a 5-hour marathon, I don't have time for that. I can barely watch one episode of Voyager these days. So watching three episodes forces you to make hard choices about what you're going to watch.
I don't even have time to watch one episode of Voyager. Try chasing a toddler around and seeing if he'll sit down for an episode. It doesn't happen.
We need to make more time for the good things in life. We need more Voyager.
We do. Maybe I should just strap him down to the couch and be like, we're watching this. We've watched enough cartoons. We're watching this.
That's one way to turn him into a Voyager fan.
Well, he does dance to the theme song, so we're getting him there.
He dances to the theme song?
Yes, he does.
That's adorable. You should get that on video.
Yes, I should. He also dances to the Simpsons theme song and Futurama. Those are his favorites.
Voyager, the Simpsons, and Futurama.
He's a strange child.
The heart wants what the heart wants. So how was it, Suzanne, coming up with your list of Tom Paris episodes to watch, our three-episode mini-arc? I had a hard time with this. There are actually quite a few great Tom Paris episodes in Voyager. I had a hard time coming up with the three that I would pick above all the others.
It was a little difficult, and I wasn't going with what I'd pick above everything else. I went with what gave me the best insight into Tom, what helped me get to know Tom a little bit more. I went with those episodes.
I took a slightly different approach. I picked the episodes that I thought were the most Tom Paris iconic, whether or not they were important for his character development.
Okay.
With one exception.
Please not Fairhaven. I can't take it anymore.
No, I will put your mind at ease right now. You do not have to drive to California. You don't have to reach through the monitor and slap me. None of that.
I'm glad.
Fairhaven is neither on my list nor on my honorable mentions list this time.
Okay, good. I feel better.
You can rest easy. Take a deep breath. It's okay, Suzanne. I could feel your blood pressure going up.
It was. Well, I feel bad because I don't have any honorable mentions. I just went with the straight three.
That's okay. We can brainstorm some honorable mentions out when we're done.
No, I'm leaving it at three. No honorable mentions from me.
Wow. I had such a hard time picking my three. I can't help but have some honorable mentions.
I just don't want to think about it anymore. I'll change my mind about things. Okay, so with all of that said, Zachary, what is your first pick of your Tom mini marathon?
Well, if Fairhaven didn't make you drive to California, this one might.
Oh, no.
I'm going to put Threshold on the list.
No, That is perfectly acceptable in a Tom mini marathon. That is okay.
You think so? I know it's popular to hate Threshold.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it. That's all. It's goofy.
I think that's what I love about it. I wanted episodes that are fun, and Threshold is as goofy as it gets in almost all of Star Trek.
Yes, it is totally. It's up there with Spock's brain goofy for me.
It's goofier than Spock's brain for me.
They're neck and neck.
But we do get a little Tom Paris character development. We get lizard babies. We get to go past the warp barrier.
Tom loses his tongue.
Tom gets to be omnipresent, occupying every point in space in the universe simultaneously. How cool is that?
So does that make him like Q?
Yes, absolutely. Maybe not in the omnipotent sense, but in the omnipresent sense, yes.
So that's how you become kind of a Q. The drawback is you also become a lizard. Yeah, it's not worth it. Sorry. Yeah, thought about it. Not worth it.
I don't know. You know, Tom and Captain Janeway had a good bonding moment there at the end of the episode. And during the episode.
Left their children. That's irresponsible, but whatever.
Wouldn't that have been weird if the children came on board, like as pets?
Well, no. Don't you think the doctor could have, like, regressed them, kind of?
Into humans?
Yeah, why not? He did it with the captain and Tom.
Okay, no, I seriously hadn't considered this. So the lizard babies come on the ship. Mm-hmm. They get reverse engineered, reverse evolved. Wait, de-evolve from a lizard to a human? That doesn't sound right.
It could happen, I guess. It's Star Trek. Anything can happen. So why not?
So they get de-evolved into humans. Mm-hmm. And I could see that happening, like, instead of the Borg children. We get the lizard baby children.
Because then Naomi has children to play with throughout pretty much the entire run.
I wonder who would raise them. Would they live with Captain Janeway? Would they co-parent? Like, what's the arrangement?
I'm going to say the doctor takes over.
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely.
He would be the most maternal. Because I don't see Captain Janeway being all that maternal to these children that she didn't ask for.
Awkward.
Very. That, and you know, through the process of de-evolving them from lizards to humans, the doctor gets attached and begins to care for them deeply.
It would be really interesting if they were cast in such a way that they bore a strong physical resemblance to Captain Janeway or Tom, like they were little mini Janeways or mini Tom Paris.
Oh gosh, I thought you were going to say a strong resemblance to Robert Picardo, which would be amazing.
Like bald little children?
He can control their DNA and features and everything. He just made him look like him.
Even though they have Captain Janeway and Tom Paris as parents.
Because obviously you can mess with genetics, as B'Elanna tries to do later. So why not? Make him look like the doctor.
This is the doctor just putting his signature seal on, exactly. on the work. His signature. No, I hadn't seriously considered that they could de-evolve the lizard babies.
I think that's a better idea than leaving them on a planet that they know nothing about. They could become this invasive species that takes over everything.
I had kind of envisioned them just like hanging out in a little aquarium, like a lizard tank.
But if they're evolved humans, don't you think their brain power also evolved?
So they'd be smart lizard.
Yeah. So therefore they'd take over.
Wait, how big would they get? Right? Are they like human-sized lizards, or do they stay small little lizards? Do we know?
Well, the captain and Tom looked like Gila monster-sized lizards.
Right, okay. So if they grow up to be that size lizard, yeah, they're going to have a problem of where to keep these things.
Yeah.
So granted, it's a little specious to come right out of the gate with Threshold as my first pick, but that is the episode that I think of the most when I think of Tom Paris. I can't help but think of Threshold.
Okay. Well, my first would have to be, when I think of Tom, I think of Caretaker. We get to see a man in jail, given a second chance, and having to deal with people looking down on him constantly.
I thought about Caretaker because it's where it all began for Tom. We get his whole backstory, essentially. Mm-hmm. I didn't put Caretaker on my list because Caretaker's not really about Tom. He plays an important part of the beginning of the episode. There are a couple good scenes, but it's not really about Tom. So I didn't put that on my list. But, you know, this is your list. You can put whatever you want on the list.
That's right. So don't badmouth my pick.
I'm like, what a terrible pick, Suzanne.
Just because it's not fully about Tom doesn't mean it's not about Tom. There's a good chunk in there where we learn about Tom. We learn about his past. We learn about what people think about him and how he treats friends. So it's a good building block.
I think you could make a case that of all the characters on Voyager, Tom Paris has the most character development.
I'm going to go with the Doctor.
Oh, maybe. I would say maybe not development, maybe the biggest turnaround is what I meant to say. Like, Tom is, he's in trouble. He's got an attitude. He doesn't see any potential for himself. To go from that to being, essentially a good husband and father, a family man, and all the improvements that he has along the way, that's like an actual turnaround, not even just development.
Yeah. He completely transforms who he was into someone he can be proud of.
So viewed in that light, you could view all of Voyager as the Tom Paris story.
Tom Paris redemption.
So if we're casting all of Voyager to be the Tom Paris story, the Tom Paris redemption, as we're now calling it, well, notice how this comes up from the very beginning of Voyager with Caretaker to the very end of Voyager with Endgame. Like, you know, Tom features in both of those episodes. And, you know, if you look at his entire arc, you could view Caretaker and Endgame as bookending Tom's story. So sure, you know, you could plausibly put Caretaker and even Endgame on the list in that light.
Definitely.
Is Endgame on your list? I know it's not on your list.
How long have you known me?
I can't imagine any list of episodes you want to watch where Endgame shows up on the list.
Yeah, no. I can't do it. I still have so much anger inside of me because of that episode.
See, Endgame doesn't bother me so much, Suzanne, but you know that. So I had thought about putting Caretaker on my list too, because it is the origin of the Tom Paris story, but no, I needed to find episodes that were a little more Tom-centric. I'm almost certain this next pick of mine will be on your list. How about 30 Days? Did that show up on your list? That's on my list.
That did not show up on my list because I figured it was going to be on yours.
Really? See, I figured it would be on yours. I almost didn't put it on mine.
So 30 Days almost didn't make it.
We might be missing the point of how these lists are supposed to work. I'm not supposed to adjust my list based on what you're going to pick. You're not supposed to adjust your list based on what I'm going to pick.
There are no rules. Why are you putting rules on this?
Not rules, just, you know, pirate code type things.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not a pirate. I'm going to choose what I'm going to choose the way I'm going to choose it and why. And no one's going to make me choose any differently.
What if I hadn't put 30 Days on my list?
Then 30 Days didn't make the mini marathon. Oh, well.
Huh. Yes, I put 30 Days on my list. Again, other than Threshold, I actually don't think there's another episode that's quite as Tom-centric as 30 Days.
Definitely, 30 Days is the most Tom-centric episode.
I mean, it comes a little bit out of nowhere that Tom likes nautical things, and it never really gets brought up again.
Yes,
always wanted to be a sailor, almost joined the Federation's Navy, you know?
On earth did that come from? I have no idea.
I want to know more about the Federation Navy, or whatever it's called. Wait, what do they call it?
In the Navy, you can sail the seven seas in the Navy.
I love the idea that, like, on every Federation world, they've got a naval outpost, and you can go be in the Federation Navy if you want to. Like, you can go to Rigel 6 and, you know, jump on a ship and sail around Rigel 6's ocean if that's your bag.
It's just so random and bizarre.
Like, why exactly is this important in the 24th century?
I know. Who's going to attack the land when you have starships, you know? I don't get it. The Navy. Why does it still exist? I don't know.
So they don't call it a Navy. They call it the Federation Naval Patrol. But same difference. It's basically a Navy. But what is its reason for being?
To me, it sounds like they just renamed the Coast Guard. So the Coast Guard is no longer, and now it's just the Federation Naval Patrol. But I'm guessing for, like, people that go out pleasure sailing and get stuck, the Federation Naval Patrol is there to help.
They rescue tourists on Risa who are drowning?
Exactly. They just rescue people.
You mean they're not worried about the Romulan naval invasion force?
I don't think so.
I love the idea that the Romulans might drop some Romulan naval vessels into the ocean and attack that way.
I don't think that's going to happen, because the Enterprise would stop them before they even get close.
You know, there must be some Tom Paris equivalent on Romulus or on Quonos, or pick your favorite world. Right? Aren't there aliens that just want to be in their version of the Navy too?
Sure. Why not?
But all kidding aside, I think 30 Days is important for Tom. We learn that Tom has a backbone, that he's willing to break the rules. We know Tom's willing to break the rules, right? He's a rule breaker. He starts out in prison for gosh sakes, right? But he's a principled rule breaker, and we get to see how much of a spine he really has in 30 Days.
We do. We do. And he tries to get some closure with his father, even though, you know, his father's not there and can't talk to him. But he's still trying to prove himself to him and say, look, I know I made mistakes, but I'm proud of these mistakes that I've made that made me who I am.
So if you remember, when Tom is in the brig and he's writing these letters to his father, he orders them to be automatically transmitted when they're mm-hmm. in range. When Endgame happens, do you think he ran to either send the letters or delete the letters?
I don't think he even remembered the letters.
So the letters must have got sent then.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
I don't know. I got the sense that Tom maybe never thought he would actually see his father again. And so, you know, when they were close enough, he was going to transmit them, but he was still going to be years and years and years away from actually being there. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're home. And he's got these letters that he wrote. He could just tell his father those things, but no, he's going to still make use of the letters.
But he told the computer to automatically send them. He wasn't going to send them. He probably forgot about them, and then the computer just took care of it. So there's nothing weird about that.
I guess I just wondered if he still wanted the letters to be sent, whether or not he remembered that they were going to be sent by the time Endgame rolled around.
Well, it's too late now because they've already been sent. Whether he wanted to or not, it's done deal.
I can picture Admiral Paris calling Tom up by subspace. Tom, I just got this letter from you. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I think with everything happening, Admiral Paris was a little too busy to be checking his email.
Well, I could have sworn 30 days would be on your list. Nope. So what is on your list?
The next one on my list would be Vis-a-Vis. This is where we find out that Tom likes to play inside of a holodeck program called Grease Monkey, where he's working on a 1960s Camaro.
Listening to
surf rock music. Yes, the Camaro, as B'Elanna calls it.
Yeah, only in Voyager would you get a Camaro and what's essentially the Beach Boys.
It could have been Dick Dale and the Deltones. You don't know.
Or Jan and Dean, you know, sure.
Yeah. But it just shows how Tom, through the monotony of, what is it, that 4 years on Voyager, yeah, he's got things to do, but is he really happy with what he's doing at this point? And this episode shows that, you know, going through the motions day to day, falling into a rut, it isn't healthy. And it can leave you wanting something more.
You're saying Tom is going through a midlife crisis. He just needs a sports car?
I think that's what this is. Yes, it is a midlife crisis. And there's his Camaro.
Well, okay. There is this problem with life in this way, right? Mm-hmm. We have this thirst for meaning. We want things to be meaningful. And sometimes you get stuck in a rut. And no matter what you do, whether you get a sports car, whether you go on an adventure, whether you join the Navy, as Tom might also do, whatever it is, all of it kind of looks meaningless sometimes. You go, wow, what's the point of getting a Camaro? What's the point of joining the Navy? What's the point of showing up for work? What's the point of doing any of it, right? Once you're in that mode, nothing seems to fill that void.
Yeah, B'Elanna wasn't even filling that void for him. He just was not happy with who he was and what he was doing at that point in time. And it took an alien taking over his body for him to sort of snap out of it. Because the alien was like, well, since you're not happy being you, I could be happy being you. Let me just slip in here. And you can be this Steth person and I'll be Tom.
You seem to have it pretty good. You got a great job. You got a Camaro.
You got a nice girl.
Got it all figured. Right. Exactly. It's a good reminder that Tom has it pretty good after all.
Exactly. And Tom just needed to be reminded of that.
Well, I think we all need reminders like that sometimes.
Well, hopefully, you know, some alien doesn't take over your body for you to be reminded of that.
Maybe it's already happened. How do you know who you're really talking to?
That's true, because I can't see you right now.
No, that's true. I don't have a webcam right now this time, so you can't see me right now.
So how do I know that it's really you? I don't.
It could be a hologram.
You could be a Terminator disguising your voice and I'd never know.
Could be an android. Yep. Could be just a computer simulation of my voice.
Are you just a Fig Newton of my imagination?
I always think it's interesting when characters in Star Trek have these kinds of existential crises. Like, if anything's going to be meaningful, it's going to be being out there in the universe on a starship exploring the galaxy, right? In Star Trek land, that is the most meaningful thing you can do. And for a character to be out there doing it, being on the adventure, having a crisis of boredom and a crisis of meaning, I think it's really interesting that even when we have it the best, we just don't always find it satisfying.
The grass is always greener.
I love when Voyager does this. They have throwbacks to the 20th century quite a bit, largely because of Tom, but not always because of Tom. Like, we get the 37s, too, and we get to see a pickup truck. And I think it's interesting to think about what things from the 20th and now the 21st century will persist into the 24th century. Like, which cultural things will people remember? You know, will people in 300 years remember, like, in our case, will they remember things like Star Trek? You know, will they remember what a Camaro is? Will they remember what fill-in-the-blank is? You know, I think it's interesting that Blonda didn't know what a Camaro was. Well, Tom does. Where did Tom learn to work on Camaros? Did his dad build Camaros with him? Like, did Admiral Paris, was he a gearhead?
I don't see Admiral Paris doing that.
Like, where exactly would you learn to do that in the 24th century?
The holodeck.
I just get amused by these ideas sometimes. Like, you know, where exactly did Tom learn to work on a Camaro? I don't know. Like, from his dad or from a relative or the academy or holodeck? Like, what prompted it? I have no idea. I think it's interesting. Oh, before I move on, though, Suzanne, I forgot to say something about 30 Days that's important. In 30 Days, we also get a little Captain Proton, and I wanted some Captain Proton on my list.
Okay. So you have a little Captain Proton.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I picked 30 Days, because of Captain Proton. You know, I had to get some Captain Proton in there. I didn't quite want to pick Bride of Chaotica. Didn't want to pick Knight. So 30 Days with some Captain Proton, it was overdetermined to be in my list.
Okay.
But last on my list is Day of Honor.
Really? Okay.
I had a hard time with this one because I wanted a Tom and B'Elanna episode, and I had to pick. Do I pick Day of Honor or do I pick Drive? Boy, this was a hard choice. I think Drive is honestly the better episode for me, but I love the moment of Tom and B'Elanna floating in space, admitting their feelings for each other. I'm such a romantic that way, and I had to pick Day of Honor.
One of them didn't admit anything.
Yeah, but isn't life kind of like that?
No, it shouldn't be like that.
I still thought it was a remarkably touching moment, so I went with Day of Honor because I'm sappy that way.
You are a sap. You really are.
I am. Yeah, card carrying. Yeah.
I am not a sap at all.
No, you're not. As evidenced by the fact that you're complaining about the Anna Green Gables DVDs I bought you to watch.
Ugh, do I really have to watch them?
Yeah, because you're making me watch Aliens, which I watch, and now I'm going to watch 6 more Alien movies, all because of you. So. But no, I picked up on the fact that you are not a sap in that way. You're like, do I have to? So, of the two episodes, Day of Honor or Drive, I thought Day of Honor was just a little sappier, so I went with that.
Okay. I really have nothing to say about Day of Honor. To me, I see it as more B'Elanna and not much Tom.
It is a B'Elanna episode, but it's a Tom and B'Elanna episode by the end of the episode.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I guess.
Now that I think about it, in real time, I could have picked Course Oblivion, where we get to see fake B'Elanna and fake Tom get married. That would have been just as satisfying. But it's still fake B'Elanna and fake Tom, so I don't know if that counts. Does fake Tom count? Can I put an episode about fake Tom on my Tom list?
I guess. I mean, fake Tom is still Tom, or he thought he was Tom up to a point.
If you have all of Tom's memories, and you think you're Tom, maybe you're just Tom.
You could be.
Did you think it was important to get a Tom and B'Elanna episode on your list? Do you have a Tom and B'Elanna episode on your...
I do not have a Tom and B'Elanna episode. I have a Tom and Harry episode.
Okay.
Because I think that's more important.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. It's just as important for Tom as a character. He's got a bromance, absolutely.
Yeah, and that would have to be The Shoot.
I almost picked The Shoot. I did. I think of The Shoot as a little more of a Harry episode than a Tom episode.
Yeah, well, just like yours was a little more B'Elanna than Tom, I guess we could say that about
mine. Good point. No, I love The Shoot. I really do. I don't enjoy watching it as much as I enjoy watching the other ones in my pick, so it didn't make the list. Again, you have to make hard choices when we're doing these mini marathons, right? If you only get 3 episodes, there are a lot of great episodes that aren't going to make the list, and Shoot is one that just didn't make my list.
Sad for you because it made mine, because it's pretty awesome.
What's your favorite Tom moment in The Shoot? Like, I think of the moment of Harry standing up for Tom. That's what I think of it as, like, the defining moment of The Shoot. Do you have a favorite Tom moment
from The Shoot? I think of that as the defining moment for Harry, because you figure watching this episode that Harry's the one that's, you know, he's not long for this world. And then the worm starts to turn and it's like, oh no, Tom is the one that's in trouble.
Even though that scene's not about Tom per se, that does a lot for Tom's character development, because Tom is a person in need of a friend. And for Tom to have such a good friend and good faithful friend in Harry, that's a big step forward for Tom's development in life. He doesn't think he's worthy of a friend before Harry, really.
That's true. And even in the final scenes where Tom and Harry are talking and Harry feels bad because he was about to attack him, it's like, I just remember you saying, this man is my friend. No one hurts him.
What I really like about the shoot is the way in which Tom realizes how important it is to have good friends. And I've been blessed in life that way. I've got great friends. You're one of my great friends. I have a lot of great friends, people who help me out when I need help or would stand up for me or would I can count on to always be on my side no matter what. And not everyone's fortunate to have friends like that. And Tom was a person who wasn't fortunate enough to have a friend like that until he met Harry. And once he's got a friend like that, he's really thankful that Harry stands by him. So even though this is not really about Tom per se, this is a huge step in Tom's development. So I know you said you didn't have any honorable mentions, but I could have put Alice on my list. I thought about putting Alice on my list.
I thought about Alice.
Yeah, it's a good Tom. It's a Tom episode.
It is.
It's not one of my favorite episodes, but it's an important Tom episode.
Yeah.
I thought about Bride of Chaotica, even though that's more of a Janeway episode, maybe.
Oh, that's definitely a Janeway episode. Queen Arachnia forever.
But you get so much Captain Proton, I think of it as a Tom episode, just because of it's Captain Proton. In fact, a lot of the holodeck episodes I think of as Tom episodes, even if they're not really about Tom. Like, you know, we got the Fairhaven, we've got Spirit Folk.
You weren't going to bring up Fairhaven.
All the scenes with Sandrines. You know, these are Tom things.
Sandrines.
The working on the Camaro. That's a Tom thing. So any of those are plausible, you know, Tom moments to put on the list.
What was the episode where Tom was fighting for B'Elanna's honor with a Bat'leth? He was fighting a Klingon. I can't remember which one it was.
That was Prophecy, I think.
Yeah, Prophecy. That's a good one. That could be an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, at a certain point, once Tom and B'Elanna get together and they're an official couple, I kind of think of them as having the same moments. You know, if it's a Tom and B'Elanna episode, it's a Tom episode.
Mm-hmm. So kind of like Workforce, you could think of as Tom and B'Elanna.
Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of Tom fighting a Klingon with a Bat'leth, though. There's something just
that is pretty cool. I like that.
That's my wife. Give me the Bat'leth. It's a little laughable, though. Tom would get his clock cleaned, his chronometer cleaned.
He would.
Well, Suzanne, it's been fun talking about defending the beaches of Ryza from the Romulan naval invasion force, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
You know, I remember the freedom of having my own car, and believe it or not, I actually had a Plymouth Fury. It wasn't a 58, right?
It was a
73, but yeah, my first car was a Plymouth Fury, and the movie was part of the reason why. When I saw that for sale, it was a cheap car. I paid like $500-$300, something like that for it. It was in really
good shape. Brandon, you really didn't take the message of this movie. You went out and bought one of those cars.
It was yellow, it wasn't red, you know, so.
Who knows? Someone might have sprayed it.
Standard Orbit.
We recorded most of the Shatner episodes. Every now and then we missed. Like, okay, we'll get it next round with Nimoy. We kind of thought it'd be the same thing. It's like, oh, there's going to be no difference. It's just Spock reading it instead of Kirk. No, completely different, right? So it's like, oh, crap. We should have bought 160 tapes instead of 80 for this.
Literary Treks.
I did like the scenes with his family and Riker, you know, spending the night at the home, getting up in the morning, having breakfast with the family. Oh, look, they made him coffee. There was just something really nice and settling about Riker just being in that situation and being treated with such respect and with arms around him, you know, just welcoming him and making him feel at home. And I guess you don't really feel that all that often in many Star Trek stories when you beam down to a planet and you're just welcomed into somebody's home and you're just seeing what a normal, happy family is like.
Warp 5.
That's kind of how Trip acted, though, right? He needed to see this. He needed to actually step in to the situation. And I appreciate that. You know, like, a lot of people give him some flack for being kind of pig-headed, or I think they even almost assume that he has a problem with the three genders. And he's like, no, I don't have a problem with the three genders. I have a problem that this third sex, I guess, they get it wrong. Enterprise, the writers should have said sex the entire time. They should have said sex, but I'm guessing, you know, they're on TV, and if they say sex a whole bunch, they might get the wrong idea.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose message to a Trek.fm show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/Trek.fm. Well, Zachary, when you're not busy working on your 69 Camaro and listening to Dick Dale and the Deltones, where can our listeners find you on Trek.fm and the internet?
Well, when I'm not spinning the Deltones on the hi-fi, you can always find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not busy rolling your eyes at all the sappy love scenes with Tom and B'Elanna, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up occasionally in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network through Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, we do have a few people we would like to thank, the first off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is actually a hyper-evolved lizard. Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shematella, our Patreon manager.
Don't you mean a de-evolved lizard?
No. No, I'm saying he's hyper-evolved. He's really a lizard, but we don't know it.
Uh-huh.
He's just pretending to be human. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of Trek FM and To the Journey.
Well, be sure to join us next time when Suzanne will be standing up for me in a subterranean gang fight. But until then, this has been To the Journey.